the Gospel according to John. If you have your Bibles and would like to read along, please turn to John chapter 12. I think I just broke the mic here. John chapter 12. And I want to begin reading there with verse 20. John chapter 12, verse 20. It says, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. And that's reading from the Gospel according to John, chapter 12, verses 20 through 33 for a scripture reading today. And I want to talk about today lifting up Jesus. The statement that he made here in the 32nd verse that I read, he said, And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Lifting up Jesus. I wish that the whole world could have been at the tent revival last night. Brother Mike Wheat preached, and the Lord was certainly with him, and he had some wonderful things to say about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we certainly ought to all be able to do that, shouldn't we? To just go around and say and tell people wonderful things about the Lord Jesus Christ. But he used the scripture from Philippians chapter 2 of how God the Father has highly exalted Jesus and has given him a name which is above every name. And so, you know, God has exalted him. And we will never be able to match what God has done, but we certainly, as the children of God,
we ought to also be doing our part in exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, everything, and certainly this is the way that it ought to be in the Lord's church, everything is about Him, and none of it is about us. You know, there's not one thing. Now, we certainly are blessed, and we benefit from the Lord's being members of the Lord's church, and the things that that are done for us through the Lord's church are great blessings and great benefits to us. But there's not one thing, not one single thing about the church that is ever for our glory or for our honor. It's all for the Lord. Every bit of it. And, you know, we need to, I believe this, and I've said this before, that we need to love each other. We need to respect each other. We need to encourage each other, but we don't ever need to worship each other. And we don't ever need to exalt each other. We need to exalt the one that's worthy of being lifted up. We need to exalt the one that God has exalted and given a name which is above every name. The ordinance, the one ordinance that we're going to observe today among the two ordinances that he left for his church, they're all about him. They're pictorial ordinances, and they're gospel ordinances, and they're symbolic ordinances. And the things that are symbolized in the two ordinances that the Lord gave the church are all about Him. They're about the, when we observe the Lord's Supper, it's about His death. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 said, whenever we do this, that we show His death until He comes. When we, when someone has been saved and we administer the ordinance of baptism, the burial in water, you know, and the coming forth symbolize not only his death but his resurrection, and so these are all, you know, they were set up. And only the Lord could have done that. The ordinances that we observe, they were made in a way that they would speak of Him. That they would bring honor and glory to the Lord and not to us. And so when the Lord made this statement, and the Bible tells us here, and it's recorded in the very next verse, that when he said this, that he said, when Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me, this he said, signifying what death he should die. And so he was telling them this, you know, to forewarn them, how his actual physical death would come, that he was going to be lifted up from the earth. He was going to be crucified. But there's another time, if you look in the third chapter of John, Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And you can go back to the 21st chapter of Numbers, I believe it is, and you can read about what Jesus was talking about, how that there was a time when the children of Israel had angered the Lord. They had sinned against the Lord like they were prone to do, and they had angered Him, and He had sent fiery serpents among them, and those who were being bitten by these serpents they would die. And he instructed Moses to make a serpent of brass and to place it up on a pole in front of the people. And those that would look to that brazen serpent would live. Now that serpent, Jesus tells us that it was a shadow of him. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And so what happened there? Those that were bitten by the serpent, they were, if they looked to that brazen serpent on the pole, then they could live. And so what about today? Well, those who have been bitten by the serpent, those who are guilty of sin, we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can be healed. We can be saved. We look to the one that was lifted up for our salvation. So here, though, John rather tells us that Jesus made this statement concerning the death that he should die, and certainly we're going to be looking at that today in observing the Lord's Supper, the way that Jesus was put to death, the way that his body was broken, the way that his blood was shed. You know, Jesus didn't just lay down at night to go to sleep and not wake up. He was put to death. He was crucified. And he was in control of that all the time, wasn't he? He said, I've got the power. I've got the power to lay it down. I've got the power to take it up again. But I certainly believe that, you know, if we stop there, if we look at what Jesus said and the statement that he made, and we said that when he was speaking about being lifted up from the earth concerning what type of death he should die, there's more to this statement than that. Because we today can still lift him up. And we must lift him up. Listen, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We must lift him up. If this was only in reference to that, and certainly, as I've said, it was in reference to the death he would die, but if it was only in reference to that, then it's not of use today, is it? Because Jesus was crucified a long time ago. But you know, he still draws people today to him, doesn't he? He wasn't just saying that those that would be eyewitnesses to him being lifted up on the cross, he wasn't just saying that they would be drawn to him, but we continue to lift him up before this lost world by the preaching of the gospel, by the preaching of the cross. The Apostle Paul wrote about that many times. One of the statements that he made that we find in 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians rather, in the second chapter, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church after that he had labored among them. He wrote an epistle to them, and he reminded them that when he was among them, that he determined not to know anything. He determined not to preach any other message but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Listen, this gospel that we preach today, is it not an old story? We, you know, hear a song from time to time about that. Oh, no, oh, the old story, it never grows old. this gospel that we still preach today has been preached for many years. It has been preached ever since the church was established here in the world by the Lord during His own personal ministry. The Lord's church has gone forth from place to place, time to time, preaching this same message that we still preach today. We still lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. We do our best to exalt Him. Oh, let me tell you something. I can get down on my knees. I can say this with all honesty of heart. I can get down on my knees and I can thank God in heaven for churches like Fairview Memorial that still preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. There's been so many that have watered down the gospel. There's been so many that have perverted the gospel. There's been so many that have preached such a weakened gospel. But listen, the truth of the gospel is that the only begotten Son of God came into this world and He was treated worse than anybody has ever been treated by the people of this world. He suffered more than any man has ever suffered. And He gave His life a ransom for our sins. And they took Him, and they were not easy about it. They took Him, and they nailed Him with big spikes and a mallet. They nailed Him to a tree. They nailed this man to the old wooden cross, and they lifted Him up between heaven and earth there, and they suspended Him up in front of the people there that stood by that day, and they stood there and they watched as He died. They heard the things that He said. They heard those seven statements that He made while He was on the cross. And finally He said, "It's finished." Aren't you glad that Jesus finished what He came to do? I'll tell you what, for us, you know, that statement that Jesus made, "It's finished." Brother Ronnie Copas, that meant that we could be saved. It's finished. I've done it. I've done everything necessary for you to be saved. Paul said, "We don't preach ourselves." You've never heard me. In the years I've been here as pastor, you've never heard me one time get up and preach myself as the way for you to be saved, have you? If anybody says I have, we're going to have a problem. I've not preached that one time. Paul said, "We don't preach ourselves, but we preach Christ Jesus and Him crucified." That's who we exalt. That's who we lift up before this world. Yes, we still tell the old story that's been told for years and years. And listen, it doesn't grow old, because God will still, today when it's preached, His Spirit will still bear witness to it. And God will still convict souls. And He will still save souls through the preaching of the cross. Oh, I'm glad I heard it. I'm glad I heard it in my childhood. I'm glad that people told me that old story, that they exalted Jesus before me and told me if I was ever going to be saved, that it would have to be through Him. You know, the body and the blood of the Lord are not literally here today. the elements that we use in observing this will symbolize them. He's in heaven at the right hand of God. And one of these days, and maybe here pretty soon, maybe here before too long, He'll say, I'm going to go and I'm going to get my children. I'm going to gather them together. And I'm going to take them home. Maybe He'll do that pretty soon. Bless your hearts. Maybe before too long, Brother Strode, we'll be walking on the streets of gold. Maybe before too long, we'll be in a better place. We'll be in His presence. He promised us that, didn't He? And the Lord never lets down on a promise. He never fails on a promise. So maybe before too long, we'll see one another in a better worship than what we have here. Nobody will be in a hurry to leave. Nobody will be saying, I got to go home now. We'll be home. Be with the Lord. We need to exalt Jesus. We need to lift Him up. Not only in our gatherings, not only in our public worship, but in our daily lives. When we're in contact with those around us who don't know Him, we need to exalt Him before them. We need to lift Him up before them as the only sufficient Savior, the only one they need. We lift Him up through the preaching of His Word. We lift Him up through our testimonies. We lift Him up in song. Been some beautiful songs written about Jesus, hadn't there? He's worthy. Let me tell you something. He's worthy. Without Him, we are nothing. Nothing. Did you know that? Oh, and people just, there's so many people in the world today that they just really think they're something. You can go out there in the world and you can meet people that really think they're something. I mean, they just think they're it. You know what the Bible teaches me? That apart and separate from God, we don't even have an existence. In Him, we live and we move and we have our being. And outside of Jesus Christ, we have no salvation. There is no salvation except through Him. So today, we observe this ordinance in remembrance of the one, the only one, who could have died to make a way for us to be saved. We're not just, we're not just memorializing just anybody today. It's the only begotten Son of God who came, gave His life for us, left us an ordinance that we could observe. Very simple elements, very simple the way it's carried out. But He told us, whenever you do this, you remember Me. Whenever you observe this, you think of what I did for you. You think of the way that I suffered and the way that I died for you to be able to be saved. Those are the thoughts that were upon my heart today. I would like to ask the deacons, brethren, if you would, at this time to come.